happy. I've sung when I've had tears. I've even had folks ask me if it's all been just a show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity. I've sung to those walking through the fiery trial. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I've bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you, He's always given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity.
Cleo come up, and he's going to read in two different passages for us today. The first one is going to be in Matthew chapter 24, and he's going to read for us verses number 36 through 41. So that'll be Matthew chapter 24, verses number 36 through 42, I'm sorry. And then once you find that, if you'll jump over to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to have him read 26 through I believe it's the end of the chapter there, Luke 26 through 26 through 32, 26 through 32. And Luke 17, 26 through 32, but we'll first start out in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. All right, Brother Cleo.
Morning, beloved. Get my cheat sheet. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 42. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other two, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now over to Luke chapter 17, verses 37 through 42. verses 26 through 32. And as in the days of Noe, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife.
We've been studying in the book of Genesis in Sunday school hour, and we went over Noah and God giving him the command and letting him know that he was going to destroy the earth, and letting Noah know what to do about that circumstance. I want to be an encouragement to us today. I want to share some things with you that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Now, as I shared in the Sunday school hour, you know, a lot of people, you know, are today making the comment that we're in the days of Noah, we're in the days of Lot. We are very close. We're not quite there. And again, you say, well, you know, preacher, what are you talking about? What do you mean there? Well, as we were studying in Sunday school, in the days coming up to the flood, there were approximately about 195 million people. And out of that 195 million people, there were only 8 that were saved. Now, praise the Lord, there's more than 8 of us here today. And although things may look bad out these doors and in our world today, praise the Lord, there's not only us that are gathered here this morning. There are people all over the tri-state area that are gathered together in His name. There are churches gathered around this world today that are gathered in His name and that are preaching the Word of God. And we're not there yet. But folks, I believe we're getting close. I believe we're getting close. And furthermore, as we look at what's going on here in our country in America, we read two judgments there. The first one was Noah, where God just looked at the whole face of the earth and he decided that he was going to wipe it out because of the violence, because of the sin, and because of everything that was going on. But also in the account in Luke, it mentions Lot, where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin, and more directly because of their sin of sodomy, because of their sin of homosexuality, and the things that they were participating in, the things that they were desiring in. And folks, as we look at these two judgments and as we look at things going on in our world today and the pervertedness that we have in our country today in America, folks, I believe with all my heart that before the Lord comes, I believe America will see judgment. Now, again, I'm not predicting that America will no longer exist or anything like that. I'm not saying that America won't recover from it. But I guarantee you America is heading in a direction where judgment is going to come. And again, you say, well, preacher, where do you get that based upon? Well, I get that based upon what is going on in our current country. The homosexuality that is going on and the openness of the LGB and all the initials, you know, the nice way of saying perverting our children and people that are trying to play God and change who they are. You know, you can cut it off and glue it on, but it don't make you something that you're not. And so we have a perverse world today. And more directly in America. I talked about this last week. You know, we have the soccer team that has gone over to Qatar. And I listened to the president of Qatar as he talked about how it was immoral to drink in public. And over in Qatar, he called it immoral homosexuality and trying to change whether you're a boy or a girl. He called it immoral. And our team had the nerve to go over there and take off the red, white, and blue and change to rainbows. Kind of gives you an idea of where our country is. We have sports. We have people in our sports. You know what I encourage you folks to do? Turn sports off.
Amen.
Get rid of them. Because now again, there, with the exception, there are a few, very few Christian people in sports today. But you know, when you let your children idolize perverted, nasty men and women, and you let them be their idols, and that's what you that's what you focus on, folks, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. And again, as we look at our country and as we look at the things that are going on, I don't really look for things to get better. I look for things to get worse. You say, well, you know, hey, we've got control of the Congress or the Senate. We can make a change. Well, I'll tell you what, there is a possibility, but I'll tell you what, it's very highly unlikely. Folks, there will be no change in America, governmental-wise, until there's a change in the church.
Right.
Until the people of God follow the word of God and do as God tells us to do. And as we've been looking at Noah here, and as we've been studying out in Noah in Genesis and directly today, some things that I want to point out to you, if you'll flip over in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6, some things that I noticed in Genesis 6, 13 through 22, as I was preparing for Sunday school. And again, as I was preparing for Sunday school, God approaches Noah, and God informs Noah of upcoming judgment, that all flesh was going to be destroyed, and the earth was going to be destroyed because of the violence through them, and he was going to completely destroy the earth. You know, as I think of America today, and I think of the situation that America is in, the senseless violence that goes on in almost every city, in almost every town, even in suburbs, and the senseless murdering and killing, and then the senseless things that go on that we have legalized and that we're allowing to take place in our country, and that being homosexuality, that being changing your sexual orientation, that being the murder of unborn children, which we fancy all this stuff up and we give it some good names, but it all boils down to, folks, it is sin, it is wrong. And we at the house of God know it as that, and we've got to stand and begin to fight against those things. And so in the day of Noah, God was going to inform Noah that he was going to destroy all flesh, and that he was going to destroy the earth because it was full of violence through them. And as we know, as it tells us in the prior verses of chapter 6, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what I want to do, folks, is I want to prepare you for the upcoming judgment. And, you know, I want to prepare you to know how to deal with what's coming our way. Noah was going to be faced with some insurmountable things here, some things that he didn't understand, some things that that God revealed to him that he needed to do, that he wasn't real sure on how it was all going to work out. But you know, Noah, and as we see in verse number 22 of chapter 6 of Genesis, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And you know, there's a way to get through the upcoming judgment that is going to come upon America, that is going to come upon the world for the sin and for the things that are going on. And that, folks, is to do what God says. You know, somehow we have come up with the ideal that because we're saved and we're born again, that what God tells us, what God says in His Word that is wrong, and what God instructs us to do in His Word is not right. Sometimes we kind of look at that and we think, you know, well, it's optional. It really doesn't apply to me. For example, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assemblings of ourselves together." Now, praise the Lord, I'm glad you all are here. But you know, the majority of Christians across America today take that as an option. If I don't have anything else to do, if nothing else is going on in my life, well, then I'll show up at the house of God when I get good and ready to come. You know, I'll tell you what, folks, that's not what the Bible intended. And that's not what God instructed us to do. How did Noah escape the destruction of the entire earth? Noah survived the escape, and Noah had a way of escape because of what Noah did. God, first of all, told Noah what was going to happen. And folks, I'm letting you know, and I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that judgment is coming to America for her sin. And again, you say, well, where do you get that, preacher? You look at past history. You look at other countries that at one time were great powers. You look at Germany. You look at England. You look at, in the Bible days, you go back modern-day Turkey. You go back into these areas and you look at it. They were people that at one time had what we have. They heard the message that we have heard. They knew what to do, and they knew how to do right, and they chose not to, and see where they are today. What has made America great is how America was founded and the purpose for America. The purpose of America from the original, those who landed here, the pilgrims that came, the purpose of America was to establish a place of religious freedom, a place where they could follow the Word of God, a place where they could raise their children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a place that they could spring from to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in America today, folks, there are several things that we don't have anymore. And I'm not talking about outside in the world. I'm talking about right here in the local church. We don't no longer have good, solid families. We don't have men that are willing to stand up and lead their family and pay the price. We don't have Christians that are willing to go out amongst this world and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, our country was established on God's Word and for the purpose of proclamating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christians today are not doing it. Christians are not going to church. Christians are not proclaiming the gospel. Divorce amongst Christian homes today is amongst the church is about 70%. You say, well, what can we do about it, preacher? How can we navigate through the judgment? First of all, we got to get back to doing what God told us to do. We got to get back to following the Word of God. You know what helped Noah in his day? He did exactly what God told him to do. First of all, God told him in verse number 13 of Genesis chapter 6 that all flesh was going to come, that all flesh had come before him, and and the earth was full of violence through them. And behold, he said, I will destroy them with the earth. And so the next thing he did is he told Noah how to escape judgment. And he told Noah, verse number 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. You know what? He didn't come up to Noah and say, Noah, I think I might destroy the earth. And it probably would be a good idea for you to build an ark out of gopher wood. It was not a suggestion to Noah. It's something that he told Noah to do. Now again, Noah has a free will. Noah could have said, hey, no, Lord, just like sometimes what we do, no, Lord, I know I'm supposed to do that. I know that I should be here, and I know I should be doing these things, but I'll get to it one day. He told Noah here, he said, make thee an ark. Now again, not only making thee an ark, he told him what kind of ark and how that ark should be fashioned. He said, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt. You know, it's really interesting as we go along here. If you'll go along here and read in these from 13 to verse number 22, 15 times we have the affirmative word shout, or I'm sorry, 12 times shout, 2 times shall. You know, when I read through that and I look at those affirmative words, it's an order, it's direction, it's telling them, you either do this or you die with the rest of them. And so he told him to build an ark. Yeah, I believe, folks, that there are two arks that I want to make application here to today. First of all, we're sitting in the first ark. We're sitting in the first ark. If you want to escape judgment, if you want to escape the things that would come about you, folks, I encourage you to be in the house of the Lord. And I thank you all for being here this morning. But you know what? There are some folks at home this morning that are not sick. There's nothing going on in their life. They just woke up this morning and decided, I ain't going. It's not what I want to do today. I've got something more important and more pressing to do than to be in church this morning. And so you know what they didn't do? They didn't come. And I believe with all my heart, folks, the church is an ark. It's a place where we can go and learn things. And again, it says here, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. You know, as I think about those rooms, you know, there's needs that needed to be met in the ark, and not everybody could be together. There were rooms in the ark where the animals were separated. You know, it just wasn't good to throw all the animals in one place. You know, the sheep needed to be separated from the lions. The giraffes needed to be separated from the elephants. You know, there needed to be some order because they all represented different needs. You know, Noah and his family didn't need to be living amongst the animals. They needed their own place. They needed their needs to be met. And today, folks, we have rooms in our church. We have an auditorium to meet the needs of the adults. We have Sunday school classrooms to meet the needs of our children because they don't learn at the same level that you do. And there needs to be a place for them to be ministered to. And folks, by the way, they need teachers to teach them. And so there were rooms. And again, the second application that I'm going to make here this morning is our homes. Our homes should be an ark. Our homes should be a place where our children and our families are safe from the world. But you know, it's really sad. And again, I'm not talking about the average home in America. I'm talking about the average home in America. Parents, we sit our children down in front of the television knowing that Hollywood is sending out perverted things, and we let them watch it anyway. You know, the home ought to be a place that of safety. The home ought to be a place where children are protected. A home ought to be a place where children's needs are met. But you know, we have our reasons and we have our excuses, and I understand. I raised two children. We get tired. And sometimes the best babysitter we got in our home is the television. You know, that's really sad. When the television becomes a babysitter. Because I can promise you, Disney and Hollywood are out to corrupt your children's mind, and they will do it at any cost. Because you know what? You know, as I think of these TV shows that you've got today, and it's so sad, to even the advertisements, when you, if you find something that you can watch, every advertisement, you got guys kissing guys and girls kissing girls and hugging each other and drag queens because they're promoting it. You know, the sad thing about it is, it's not about homosexuality. It's not about changing your sexual orientation. It's all about money. It's all about money. You know, those guys in Hollywood that are making these movies, they're doing it because they're making money off of it, not because they really are what they're pretending to be. But see, they don't care about you. They don't care about your family. The only thing they care about is how much money they're going to pack up in their wallet and take home. But what's sad is when your children and when your family sees that and has it as a regular diet, well, it plants thoughts in their mind. Children do not automatically one day wake up and think. A little boy doesn't automatically wake up and think one day, oh, I'd like to be a little girl. It don't happen. I don't care what the doctors tell you. A little girl doesn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'll be a little boy today. You know where they get that filth from? They get it from the television. And sad to say, they're getting it from our schools. They're getting it from people that are perverting their minds. They're getting it from perverted people that are perverting them. It is not something that comes naturally at all. Period. Homosexuality does not come natural. It ain't natural. It ain't normal. And I'll prove it, and I'm going to tell on him and embarrass him a little bit. My son, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, I told him, I said, I want you to come to me and nothing is off limits. You talk to me about anything, and I will give you the honest answer that I can at the time that you ask the question. And one day he told me, he said, Dad, I need to get with you. I need to talk. He said, I've got a problem. And I told him, I said, okay, son, we'll talk. So we set aside a time, and I got together with him, and he said, Dad, he said, I've got a big problem. He said, I've got a real big problem. He said, and it's bad. He said, it's a big problem. He said, I don't know what to do about it. He said, Dad, I just like girls. I like all girls. Amen. And I had to kind of hold back my chuckle and my laughter. And I told him, I said, son, that's not a problem. I said, what you do with that problem, or what you do with that situation could be a problem. But that's not a problem. That's the way God made you. That's the way God designed you. Boys are supposed to like girls, and girls are supposed to like boys, and they do naturally as long as the perverts leave them alone. So our home needs to be an ark of God. Our church needs to be an ark of God where we can go and there is safety. There is escape from the upcoming judgment. The ark, the Bible says, that it shall be pitched within and without. You know what Noah made sure? By the instruction of God and the purpose of the pitch was to make sure that nothing from the outside got in and nothing from the inside got out. Our homes need to be a place that are protected. Our church needs to be a place that is protected. And praise the Lord as we think of the application there of the pitch being a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the only way that you can be protected to the highest level is being sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way that you can do that is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, having Him as your personal Savior and being bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he tell him to make an ark, not only did he give him instructions exactly how to build the ark. And folks, don't let anybody tell you that there's no manual to raise children. It's right here. And you want to turn out a good child? You follow the manual. Stop paying attention to Dr. Spock. He was a moron and didn't know what he was doing, didn't know what he was writing. Stop looking to the world. You know, on the news the other day, they've got this new type of parenting out now. Free-range parenting. Where you let your children make all the decisions. Bull. And if you do that, parent, you're a fool. As my pastor, as Pastor King would tell me, son, you're dumber than a rock. Free-range parenting. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, I thank the Lord that I wasn't free-range parented. I praise the Lord that I was raised by a godly man who showed me God's word and ran our home and said, this is the way it's going to be. Period. And you know, I thank the Lord because in our family, we are now on 4 generations of Christians. Not only of people who are professing to be saved, but a group of people that are in church serving the Lord all around the world today. So our home needs to be a place. It needs to be a place of protection. And then the next thing, as I looked at the ark here in verse number 18, it says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark." You know where most of us miss it, folks? Is we come unto the ark. We get just close enough to God, but we don't get in all the way. You know, Christians, it's high time. And in order to survive the upcoming judgment, we need to stop circling the church. We need to stop circling God's will for our life. We need to stop circling God's will for our family and get in to the ark. You know, if Noah would have spent 120 years building the ark and stood on the outside of it, he would have died with everybody else. And so the word of God says here, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark. What God was telling Noah here, I'm going to establish my covenant with you, and that's in the ark. Now, that covenant there, as we talked about in Sunday school, is two things. Now, this is the first time in the Word of God covenant is mentioned. But what did God promise Eve? God promised Eve that one day a seed would come from her that would bring the Savior into the world. You see, this covenant that God was talking about here with Noah was not only saving his life, but was also the same covenant that the seed of Christ would come through him. You know what the covenant of the church is today, folks? That the seed of Christ come through us to be a witness and to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to give them opportunity to be saved. But you know, you're not going to get there by circling the church. You're not going to get there by circling your home. You're not going to get there by coming up to what God said. You know, and unfortunately, again, folks, and I know I've preached this before, we look at God's Word as a smorgasbord. I'll take this. I'll get rid of that. I like this. I'll have some of it, but I don't want that. We need to do as Noah did here and follow all of God's instructions. You know why Noah came out of the ark after the flood and was safe and sound, and his family was safe and sound? Because he followed everything that God said. When God said that ark needs to be 150 yards long and 25 yards wide and 15 yards tall, he made it exactly as God said. He put one door in it. He put the window where it was supposed to be. He put the rooms where they were supposed to be. He made sure he followed the instructions to the letter. You want to be safe from what's going on there out in our world today? Follow the instructions of the letter. Follow the instructions of what we've been commanded to do. And then in verse number 19, something that I see here, it says, "And every living creature of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark." Now what God was talking about there was the animals that Noah was to bring into the ark. But you know what, folks? We're not to go into the ark alone. We're not to go into the ark alone. God instructed Noah that he was to bring two of every sort, all flesh, everything that liveth, all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring unto the earth. And again, there's that affirmative word, shalt. He didn't look at Noah and say, if you feel like it, or if the sun's shining and it's not raining, or you know, it does or doesn't work. He said, thou shalt. And not only what was he supposed to bring those into the ark, and it says to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Now, there's several things that we look at that scripture there. First of all, he was to bring them into the ark. The purpose of them was to keep them alive. You know why we need Sunday school teachers and we need to have Sunday schools downstairs? We're keeping the animals alive. I mean, the children alive. We're keeping them, you know, because we're teaching them God's word. We're teaching them the right direction to go. We're teaching them the things that they need to know so that they will live. So that they'll be able to go on, and not only, it says, and shall be male and female. You know, what we got to do is we got to set them up for reproducing. Again, in my family, there's four generations of Christians. You know why there's four generations of Christians? Because we were all taught and set up for reproducing. And folks, without it, our church, the Ark, won't make it. Our church, the Ark, won't make it. If we don't bring up those little people from downstairs and teach them how to reproduce themselves, and first of all, we do that by example, and show them from the Word of God, you know what? One day, Faith Independent Baptist Church will cease to exist. You say, oh, that won't happen. That won't happen. I'll give you a good example. Highland Park Baptist Temple in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In its day, they put out men of God that went all around the world. In its day, there were 2,000 or 3,000 people that sat in that church auditorium. There were mission churches all around Chattanooga as a result of that church. Highland Park Baptist Temple today does not exist. Tennessee Temple Bible College does not exist. You know why? Because somebody thought there was a better way than this right here. Because people stopped teaching. People stopped training. People stopped doing the things that they did. And it took place. A large, huge ministry that no longer exists today. And I could tell you of more all around the world. Place in Pontiac, Michigan. Emmanuel Baptist Church. Trained one of the greatest men that I know today. He's my number two hero. My first one is my dad. Second one is Dr. Charles Keene. Great man of God. Done great things. He was trained at Emmanuel Baptist Church. He went to Midwestern Baptist College. They sent missionaries all around the world. They did great things. Today, Emmanuel Baptist Church does not exist. And what's even sad, the building that used to be there don't exist anymore either, that got torn down. The college, the building is still there, but the college is not there. Why? Why such a large, great ministry no longer exists today that at one point was doing good things? Well, they decided that there were better things to do than keep the animals alive. They decided there were better things to do than to be church. And again, it says, he told him here in verse number 19, to keep them alive, they shall be male and female. Reproducing is the only way. And then it goes on here in verse number 20. And the fowl of the air, the fowl after their kind, the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, and to keep them alive. You know, if we just obey God, the last part of that verse says, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. You know what Noah did? Noah relied upon God to send him his way. Two of every sort shall come unto thee. We need to take what God has given us and to teach them. And then verse number 21, it says, and take unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. You know, the other thing that God instructed Noah to do is to make sure that you've got plenty of food. Gather up the food. Bring it in. The food that's going to keep you alive. You know why, folks, it's so very important that we continue and we teach the Word of God? It's the food that we need. You know, mom and dad, you know why it's important in your home to have the Word of God in there on a regular basis as a meal? Because it's what's going to keep your family alive. You want to kill your family spiritually? Neglect the Word of God. Give them a little bit more of that TV. Give them a little bit more of that junk food. And I guarantee you, your children will grow up and be hellions. Amen. But if you'll give them the Word of God. Now again, I know children have a free will. And they have to make those decisions on their own. But you know what? There's a whole lot better chance that they'll make the right decision if they have the right tools to make the decision with. If their head's not so full of Hollywood and all the filth and garbage that's going on, and they've got the Word of God, folks, they'll turn out a lot better. They'll have a chance. And so he commanded him. He said, take all that is eaten. Mom and Dad, I want to encourage you. Take all that is eaten. Pay attention to what your kids are getting. Don't let the world pervert their minds. Don't let the world plant things into their heads. Because it says, and it shall be for food for them, for thee and them. And mom and dad, the same food that feeds them also feeds you. And if we as parents aren't in the Word of God, and if we as parents don't study the Word of God, we'll die on the vine. We'll go hungry. And verse number 22 says, and thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded, so did he. Folks, these verses from 13 to 22 are a wonderful recipe of escaping the judgment that is coming. You say, oh, well, you know, what do you mean, preacher? Things go sour here in America. We're not going to suffer. No, that doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. Noah suffered. Noah was made fun of. Noah spent 120 years building an ark. And I'm sure during that time he was persecuted. I'm sure during that time he was mocked. I'm sure during that time he was made fun of. And he was a very unpopular man. But he stayed to it. You know, we're going to go through some judgment here in America. And we're going through some judgment here in America. I believe COVID was judgment of America on America. I believe it was judgment on the world. I believe AIDS is judgment on America. I believe monkeypox is judgment on America. I believe what we're seeing in our government right now is judgment on America. You say, well, if all that's going on, preacher, how are we going to escape it? How are we going to come out on the other side of the flood? We do as Moses, we do as Noah did. We follow the instructions of what God tells us to do. In church, I want to encourage you, get in God's Word, stay in God's Word, follow God's Word to the letter. And when it says jump, your next question should be, how high? Stop looking at the Bible as a smorgasbord. Stop looking at church as a choice. Stop looking at the Bible as a smorgasbord and stop looking at church as a choice. You know what I mean? Well, I have to come? You should. You should. And I want to encourage you. Those who are not here today, I know there's some that are out sick. Call them. Say, hey, where was you today? Missed you. Why wasn't you there? You might find out they were sick. And praise the Lord. If they're sick, I'm glad they stayed home. But you might find that they were just a little testy and in a bad mood and decided they weren't going to come, and you can encourage them, hey, brother, hey, sister, you really need to be here. We missed you. What was taught, what was said, you needed. I know it because I needed it. Judgment is coming. And there's about six or eight things in here that God instructed Noah to do. And because Noah did them and followed them to the letter, he came out on the other side of the judgment. You know, I'm praying that when everything's said and done and everything happens here in America that's going to happen, and whether it falls apart or Jesus comes back, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found serving God. I want God to be able to look down and say, and Mark found grace in the eyes of God. But in order to do that, I got to walk with Him. And that's what you got to do too. Church, I'm challenging you to walk with me. Walk with God. Let's walk together. Let's bring America through this judgment. How can we do that? All right here in the manual. We stay focused on what God has commanded us to do, and we follow through. And when the end comes, we'll be ready. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your people. Lord, I'm grateful and thankful that you have called me here to Faith Independent Baptist Church to be the under-shepherd of this church. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in the days to come. No matter what's thrown our way, no matter who's in charge in the government, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do right. Lord, I pray that we would begin in our homes to build them, to build arks, to build them as sanctuaries for you. Lord, to get rid of the things that the devil has us in our homes. Lord, I pray that we'd go through our children's bedrooms and get rid of those things that should not be there. And Lord, I pray that we would walk according to you. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in the invitation. Lord, I pray that you would be with anyone here today, Lord, that needs to come and ask you to be their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out and to do that. And Father, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray that our church would grow. And Lord, we'd be a lighthouse in this community. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.